same tonight. We're proud of them. I speak on behalf of the whole congregation here whenever I say we're all proud of them. The example they set forth and what they mean to us and their dedication to God, fulfilling His will, becoming leaders of our worship together. At this time, with the opportunity to study God's Word together, and I always consider it such a blessing and such a privilege to be able to do that with you here at Beach Hill. We missed y'all so much this morning. As big of a time as we had, we did miss y'all. We had a great time, and it's so good to be back this afternoon with those youth who were able to go with us over the weekend at Starkville. And whenever I speak on a youth night, I typically try to veer my lesson, or steer it, rather, towards a lesson that could be applied to all of us, of course, but primarily to our youth. And so in doing so, I want to talk about the famous pop band all the kids know these days, the Talking Heads. And, of course, nobody, none of the youth laughed at that because they have no idea who that is. But I love the Talking Heads. And, in fact, they're re-showing their famous concert, Stop Making Sense, in theaters. And I showed Mallory a video of it. And I was like, we got to go. And I played her one song, and she said, I'm not going. And I said, I understand. Because it's a very unique flavor of music, if you will. But David Byrne sings a song they sing, and I love it. It's called Once in a Lifetime. And as that song, he's singing it, and he makes a point of it, like the American dream, you're living in it. And he says, you may find yourself behind the wheels of a large automobile. He says, you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife, and then you ask yourself, how did I get here? And so the song begins with that, and as he goes through the song, it begins to progress into almost a panic attack. Not only is he thinking, how did I get here? He's thinking, what if I lose this? Is this really mine? Does this stuff belong to me? And all these questions come to his head. But this is a question we all have in times of our life, especially spiritually. Because whenever we reflect on the goodness and the graciousness that God shows us through the physical blessings of this life, we do so with utter and complete awe and the appreciation we have for Him. How did I get here? How am I able to look around the blessings I have physically and know that they came from God, because every good and perfect thing does come from Him, we're told in Scripture. But furthermore, we're able to apply that to our spiritual lives. As greatly blessed as we are physically, how much more so are we blessed spiritually by a God who loves us so very much? And we ask ourselves, what in the world did I do to be able to be where I am today because God loves me so very much? And this question of how did I get here begins to become, why am I here? Why has God, in all of His wisdom, in all of His knowledge, in all of His love, in every single thing He is, why did He decide to form me and to make me and to create me and to bless me in the way that He did? So tonight, as we study together, we're going to ask this question, why are we here? And this is really a lesson I'm having the opportunity to speak next Sunday morning as well, that we'll sort of wrap up on next Sunday morning with a different idea of it. But tonight we're going to look at, we are here because the Bible tells us that God is love. But to appreciate that fact, we have to go back to before the beginning. Because we know before the beginning there was God. And at the moment that God decided to create through all of His goodness and all of His mercy that we talked about already tonight, He created. In Genesis chapter 1, we're given the creation account. The Bible says God created the heaven and earth and the light on the first day, and it was good. God then created an expanse that separates the waters from the waters, and it was good. God let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, creating dry land, and it was good. Then He created all the vegetation, the plants, seeds, and fruits of the land, and it was good. Then God created the moon and the sun to give light to the earth and to govern day and night, and it was good. God then created the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and it was good. God then created the beast of the earth, and it was good. Then everything changes in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, where the Bible says, God talking to the fullness of who He is, God the Father, Son, and Spirit, God says in verse 26, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God saw all that He had made, we read in verse 31. And behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So what makes us very good? Nothing on our own accord makes us very good, as we know and as we're so thankful to know throughout Scripture. But instead, the reason we are very good in the sight of God is because of all of His creation that He made. He only chose one part of it to be made after His image in His fullness of His essence. That, of course, being humanity, us. We are very good not because of what we have done, but because God has made us to be able to be very good. God has made us not simply to be a part of His creation, but to be able to reign with Him, we see. Not only in this life, we also reign with Him through our eternal victory given to us through Jesus forevermore in heaven, because God has deemed through His infinite will to make us, and He made us, very good. We are very good because God loved us even before He created the first thing. Have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. We'll turn there. Because God did not create us by happenstance. He was not surprised that one day you showed up somewhere. You were always eternally part of God's plan, always. And in Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 4, the Bible says, "Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved." So we see here in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 1, this idea that God didn't just simply choose us to be allowed to live. God just didn't make us to be a creation He could look on and just to be able to visualize, just to be able to see. But instead, God created us with a purpose, and God chose us to be able to live holy and blameless before Him. We come here content tonight knowing that there is nothing we can do in our own accord that will ever make us holy or that will ever make us blameless if we choose to live for ourselves. Because God chose us to be able to live this way through our desire to choose Him as the God who we want to rule and reign over our lives. So to do that, in verse 5, God shows us that He allows us to become adopted. He allows us to become His sons and His daughters. And just like today, we're able to give an inheritance to our adopted children. We have the inheritance of God the Father, who's given us eternally everything through God the Son, Jesus Christ. We're able to be a part of this inheritance and the goodness of everything that God is. And we also see there that with all the blessings of God, His grace in all of its fullness is bestowed upon us. So far we have two answers to our questions that will lead us to the final answer, bringing everything together towards the end of our lesson. But first off, we are here because God decided to create humanity after His own image. And secondly, we are here because God is love. And God loved us so much that He gave us His only begotten Son. We're going to talk a lot about God's love tonight in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Or really, 1 John chapter 4, a few verses from there. We'll begin with verse 7 through 8. If you want to turn there with me. And the first thing I want us to look at is the fact that we are here because God has willed for us to be able and to have the blessing to proclaim His love to this world. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, the Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." There's so many times that this world wants us to view life in a negative mindset. And there are times if we're viewing life based on what we think might should be the right way to view things or to experience things, as opposed to what God knows is the best thing for us to have in our life, things can become kind of trying, can't it? Because there is a lot of darkness in this world. There's a whole lot of struggle. There are these valleys that we find ourselves in time and time again of varying degrees. And there are these bad days seem to creep up on us at times, and physical difficulties really arise and rear their ugly head and make themselves known. But then we come to this heartbreaking conclusion that we should never come to in our toughest times. We may begin to think, why? Why am I in this situation? Why is this struggle in my life right now? And you begin to even ask deeper, why did God still choose to create me. But as we grow up and as we mature in our faith in God and in our love and appreciation for Him, we begin to understand God's will and God's love so much more. And we are so blessed to know that whenever God created humanity after His own image, He was not simply concerned with our physical life. And we're told throughout Scripture that He's going to bless us in our physical life. He's going to be there for us, but God is preparing us for the reward of the eternal made possible through Jesus Christ. God is building us a mansion right now, Jesus says. If it were not so, He would not have told us. But at this very moment, God is preparing eternity for you, waiting for you, His faithful, His children, who come to Him in eternity to get their inheritance. We know that God created us in love. Even before the creation of this world, He knew that one day we would be created. And He knew that whenever this darkness of this life would begin to overshadow us, that His light and His love would illuminate through His word and through our prayer and through how we live our lives as Christians dedicated to Him. And we also know that His love will carry us where we feel like we cannot even go, because He is love. Moving on to verses 9 through 10, the Bible says, "By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." As we live, we are able to live through Him. All we are and all we do is possible whenever we live our lives through the Lord, through the glory that God exemplifies for all of creation, through Jesus Christ on Calvary. Because whenever we think about the fact that God is love, that also puts us in a place that we know that the love that God has is so much greater, is so much better than any understanding we can ever have in this life. And we know that love because God wanted us to be able to experience it so immensely that He knew before He created you, you would have to have a way to have your sins forgiven. And God wanted you to know this love so much that when the fullness of Him, God the Father, Son, and Spirit, decided to create, they eternally knew that they would have to give a perfect sacrifice for us. God the Son knew that God the Father would ask Him to come through His will. And God the Son knew He would have to die for you. Because He knew your failures, and He knew your shortcomings. He knew every single time that I would ever let Him down, that I would disappoint Him, that I would say I would do something and fail to do it, and He came anyway. Because He created with that love, and that love is eternal. And we see that here in this verse, that this love of God is able to be manifested in us. It is able to exist and be shown in this world through us. And then we see this love is not because we love God, which is so very important. It's because God loved us and sent His Son to take our sins away. So the next question is, why are we here? Well, with that being said, as this verse continues on, we are here to proclaim His love to the world through how we treat other people. 1 John chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, the Bible says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit." We have this statement here. Nobody has seen God at any time, or no one has seen God at any time. But then He says, if we love one another, God abides in us. And it is true, nobody has placed their eyes on God in this realm of living. But people are able to see who God is through how you live your life and how I live my life. And what a blessing it is to know that when I carry my cross into this world every day and through how I treat others with respect and with love, no matter our differences, no matter where we stand, as long as they know I love them because God first loved me, I am showing them who God is through my actions. And what a beautiful thing it is that God has chosen us to be how this world sees Him. God has chosen Christian men and women to be the way that the world sees His mercy and His grace and His forgiveness. And what a blessing it is for us to be able to carry that into this world. We cannot do anything without God. We cannot show this world true love without God. We are blessed to know that the world is able to see God in us because God shines His love through our lives. Moving on to verses 16 through 19, the Bible says, "We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because He first loved us." So we see here in the Scripture that the fullness of God's love through His will exists today in His people because our sins are taken away through Jesus. And this love gives us hope and confidence that this world simply cannot fathom outside of faith in Him and outside of their obedience to Him. The world does not understand why Christians, why you and me, love the way we do. But the world sees it. They know who we are because that love does exist in our life. There is no fear in this world that will ever overtake this love. We are shown here there is no fear in perfect love. On the contrary, perfect love casts out that fear. And think about what God's love has cast out of your life tonight. Because even the valley of the shadow of death holds no hold over us because the love exists to carry us on into eternity forevermore with God. The love of God has defeated death itself. Death has lost its sting. It has lost its victory. What more is there to fear if love is perfected in us through Jesus Christ and His sacrifice? Love has brought us our victory, and now we love with all we have because God first and eternally loves us with all that He has. The next question I want to ask you is a short break of the other questions, is how long has God loved us and how long will God love us? Whenever you think about life, there has to be a moment, right, whenever you meet somebody, maybe in a relationship, it's a friend or it's a spouse one day, a boyfriend, girlfriend. Maybe it's being able to share the news that you're expecting a niece or nephew or grandchild or whoever. That moment you hear about that, you love that child, you love that person, right? You build that relationship and that love begins to grow and to be planted and to bloom. But God doesn't have to have that. Because God has eternally known who you are. God has forevermore known every single thing about you. And God has never loved you more. And God can never love you less than He does right now. God loves you because God is love. Everything that He is His love. God never had a starting point to when He knew and loved you, and God will never have an ending. All that He has done is for our benefit, so much so that He so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son because He loved all of us so much. And there are times I think about that. What it means to me, and I remind myself that God does love us collectively as a whole, doesn't He? He loves us as His church and as His people, but God also loves me individually as a singular person. And God gave His Son for all the world, but God also gave His Son for me individually. Because He knew whenever He decided to create that one day Winston Smith would be here. And He knew I would let him down, and He said, I love him so much anyway, I'm going to pull him out of that. The reason we're able to love today is because we know that together, that God first loved us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 14, the Bible says, "But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this He called you through our gospel, that you might gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." We see this verse here, that from the beginning we've been called for sanctification, to be made holy through the life blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary. The most incredible thing about God's love, and the reason He made us, is because he wanted us to be able to be a part of the greatest love story that's ever been told. He desired and he willed through that love to allow you to know him. And he gives us a promise that one day after this life and its struggle, all we will know is that love forevermore. We were created. We were formed in our mother's womb, the Bible says, and God did that for a purpose. Because God has eternally loved us, as we discussed tonight. But then we think about what that means for us, because now we understand that God wants nothing more than for you to be part of this story. The one that Jesus Christ himself, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 says, was the author or the pathfinder of. The one that he laid before you, that he wrote the ending of. As long as we follow what God wants us to do, we will have our victory at the end of this story. Because God has chosen humanity to be how this entire creation that he has formed, from the smallest molecule to the biggest galaxy in the universe, to be able to see and know his love. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 even goes on. It's just a small sentence at the end of that verse there. He's talking about salvation there, Peter is. And he says, even the angels desire to look into it. Even the angels in their angelic realm want to be able to look at God's redemption story and salvation and his love through our lives, because they know what God has done for me. So as I live my life tomorrow, I enter into this world. As we go out from this place, we go to our jobs, we go to our classes, or we're playing our sports, wherever we might be this upcoming week, and the world sees me, we have a story to tell. But the beautiful thing is, it's not my story. It's a story of what God has chosen to do with us. God wants his glory and his love to be magnified in you. And God knows that this world can see that through how you act and how you treat other people. God did all he has ever done and will ever do, including creating us through that love. And to praise be to the glory of God the Father in heaven that we are able to be a part of that story, even though we don't deserve it. So what does it look like to be a part of this story then? What does it look like to be able to experience this redemption, to proclaim to this world throughout the rest of our life as we are faithful and obedient, what the story of Jesus Christ is and what he's done for us? We see that Romans chapter 6, don't we? And I love reading Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 9. I do it a lot in my sermons and my Bible classes. But as I do that tonight, I want us to think about where you stand in the story of God's love. But also think about what God had to do to make you a part of that story. Bible says, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 9, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. Paul writes this letter to the church in Rome, showing them what happens to every single person who puts on Christ in baptism. And he shows us the fact that through baptism, this gift that God gives us to be able to become redeemed through him, to be able to experience his salvation, we're able to read here that we become a part of his story, don't we? Because the Christian story, what we're able to experience as Christians, is not simply standing back looking on, we're in it. Because we die with Jesus Christ. We are buried with Jesus Christ. But then we're resurrected to these new lives we get to have through Jesus Christ. Well, death has no say over us forevermore. And that is what God has willed for us. So tonight, why are we here? We are here because God loved us so very much. We are here because He has chosen through His will to make us a part of the greatest story of love ever told, which is His Son, God the Son, Jesus Christ on Calvary. All God has done for us, He has done for us. God wants you with every single thing He has. He desires you. And He shows His desire in this love by His willingness to give His Son so we might have the opportunity to become His children and to gain that inheritance. He wants us to be able to know that love exists because He loved us so much He gave us His Son. He wants us to be able to know that we love because God first loved us. If you have not yet put on Christ in baptism, there's no better night than tonight to do so. I mean, the prayers of the congregation for any reason whatsoever. Will you please come now as we stand and as we sing?